there is that school bell, so welcome back to the Warren County Radio Bible School. We're in a Bible study of Jesus in Gethsemane, studying from an old Sunday school lesson written by E.A. Elam for the Sunday schools of February the 15th, 1925. And in our text we read in Mark chapter 14, beginning in verse 32, "And they come into a place which was named Gethsemane. And he said unto his disciples, Sit ye here while I pray. And he taketh with him Peter and James and John, and began to be greatly amazed and sore troubled. And he said unto them, My soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even unto death. Abide ye here and watch. And he went forward a little, and fell on the ground, and prayed, that if it were possible, the hour might pass from him." We'll examine these Sunday school notes in just a moment. First, I need to remind you, the Warren County Radio Bible School is brought to you by the Church of Christ at Rock Cliff. Our meeting house is located between McMinnville and Biola at the foot of Ben Lomond, just across from Mount Zion Road. We have Sunday Bible study at 9 a.m., followed by worship at 10 a.m., Sunday evening worship at 6 p.m., and Wednesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. All are welcome to all of our assemblies. I am Bill Boyd, the preacher at Rock Cliff and the superintendent of this radio Bible school. And under the subheading of our Sunday school lesson, we read about Jesus' attitude in prayer. It says in Mark 14:35, "He went forward a little, about a stone's cast," Luke 22:41. "He would be entirely alone. First, as Luke 22:41 says, he knelt down and prayed. Then, as Matthew states, he fell on his face or prostrated himself. This is the lowest attitude of prayer, and expressed a feeling of helplessness, humility, and entire dependence on God. In prayer, one goes to God in reverence, awe, and humility, and the attitude naturally expresses feelings and conditions of the heart. Prayer must be in faith, from the heart. Jesus did not go through the form of prayer, but unburdened his soul to God. And in his prayer, he said in the very next verse, Abba, Father, all things are possible unto thee. Remove this cup from me. As Matthew 26:36 says, if it be possible, let this cup pass away from me. Abba, as we know, means Father. I want you to imagine a little baby first beginning to mouth his words, and he might be looking up at his daddy and saying, Abba, Abba, Abba. And so the name becomes the name for the Father. And so the cup is the suffering of all that was rapidly coming to him. His betrayal and trial, his cross and its shame, the horrors of dying as a sinner and being executed as a criminal. Then before him arose the salvation and destiny of the world, and in triumphant faith and submission he added, Howbeit not what I will, but what thou wilt. If God could not save the race unless Jesus should drink this cup, then he was willing to die. While he must drink the bitter cup, God answered his prayer. And there appeared unto him an angel from heaven strengthening him, Luke 22:43. He was heard for his godly fear. Let me read that to you from Hebrews chapter 5, verses 7 through 9. Who in the days of his flesh, having offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death, and having been heard for his godly fear, though he was a son, yet learned he obedience through the things which he suffered, And having been made perfect, he became unto all them that obey him the author of eternal salvation. It is Philippians chapter 2 and verse 8 that tells us that he humbled himself, becoming obedient, even unto death, yea, the death of the cross. Every prayer should be offered first to God, and second, in the faith and resignation of Jesus. God may answer prayer now without granting the specific thing desired. And so we read in Matthew chapter 14, verses 37 and 38, "And he cometh and findeth them sleeping, and said unto Peter, Simon, sleepest thou? Couldst thou not watch 1 hour? Watch and pray, that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. And again he went his way and prayed, saying the same words." Jesus came to the three disciples doubtless for sympathy. He did this 3 times. "Reproach hath broken mine heart. I am full of heaviness. I looked for some to take pity, but there was none." Psalm 69 in verse 20. Jesus found the three sleeping for sorrow. Luke 22:45. It was past midnight. Their minds had been on a constant strain for hours. They saw Jesus was in great distress, although they knew not what it all meant. Reaction had set in, and they had fallen asleep in the stillness of the night. It is said that great sorrow stupefies. And Jesus said to Peter, Jesus addressed Peter because Peter was forward in declaring he would die rather than desert Jesus. Jesus earnestly asked, "What? Could you not watch with me 1 hour?" Matthew 26:40. It seems to us they could, yet under less strain we fall asleep when we should watch. The sympathy of Jesus for the three apostles was aroused, and he exhorted them to watch and pray that they enter not into temptation. While they had not watched with him, they should not cease to watch themselves and their surroundings that they enter not into temptation. While this is applicable to all for all time, it had special reference to the trials just before the apostles and the betrayal and death of Jesus. In spirit, they were willing to remain and watch with him, but the flesh was weak. "So yet the flesh lusteth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh," Galatians 5:17. Hence the constant need of daily watchfulness, repentance, and confession of sins. A second time, we read in verse 39, "Jesus went away and repeated his prayer, saying the same words." Luke 22:4 says, "And being in an agony, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat became, as it were, great drops of blood falling down upon the ground." This expresses, as no language could, the great anguish of the Savior. And then we read in verses 40 through 42 of Mark 14, "And again he came and found them sleeping, for their eyes were very heavy, and they knew not what to answer him. And he cometh the third time and said to them, Sleep on now and take your rest. It is enough. The hour is come. Behold, the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Arise, let us be going. Behold, he that betrayeth me is at hand." Again, Jesus went to the three and found them sleeping, for their eyes were heavy. And they knew not what to answer him. They did not know what excuse to offer for sleeping at that time. As soon as Jesus would leave them, they would fall asleep. For the third time, he offered up the same petition. The greatest event of all was the victory Jesus gained when he said, "Not as I will, but as thou wilt," Matthew 26:39. This changed the cross into the crown and turned Gethsemane into paradise. In deep earnestness and intensity of feeling, he did this. God approves of importunity in prayer, springing from earnest, honest hearts. Such prayers are not vain repetitions. While Jesus must suffer death and endure the shame of the cross, his conduct shows that he gained composure and strength through prayer. Just as when the angel appeared, it is not stated, but he came to strengthen and comfort the Savior for all that was to come upon him. "Sleep on now and take your rest," he said. They could do nothing more at that time. He sympathized with them, weary and tired. The watch was over. The struggle had passed. He had gained the victory, and calm composure was ready to march on to death. It was enough. And then, though it's in the middle of verse, there must have been a pause as they slept, and Christ sat alone, watching across that Kindron Valley, until that mob came out of those gates with their blazing torches and their staves and swords and began walking up that hillside toward him. And he said to his disciples, "The hour had come, and the Son of Man was betrayed into the hands of sinners, that is, his murderers." And instead of "sleep all now," he says in Mark 14:42, "Arise, let us be going." He was now ready in obedience to God and in triumphant victory over the flesh to go on to death. "Behold, he that betrayeth me is at hand." Judas was approaching with the mob. And with this, that Sunday school lesson comes to a close. And now I turn the page, and we come to a Sunday school lesson that was written, the notes for that lesson, written for the Sunday schools of March 1st, 1925, and the title of this Sunday school lesson is Christ Before Pilate. We're encouraged to read Matthew 27:11-31. We will begin this reading now, and we probably won't get through because of time restraints. But when we gather together in our next class, we'll read this again and then go on to these Sunday school notes. Now here we are, Matthew 27:11. "Now Jesus stood before the governor, and the governor asked him, saying, Art thou the king of the Jews? And Jesus said unto him, Thou sayest. And when he was accused by the chief priests and elders, he answered nothing. Then said Pilate unto him, Hearest thou not how many things they witness against thee? And he gave them no answer, not even to one word, inasmuch as the governor marveled greatly. Now at the feast, the governor was wont to release unto the multitude one prisoner, whom they would. And they had then a notable prisoner called Barabbas. When therefore they were gathered together, Pilate said unto them, Whom will ye that I release unto you, Barabbas or Jesus, who was called Christ? For he knew that for envy they had delivered him up. And while he was sitting on the judgment seat, his wife sent unto him, saying, Have thou nothing to do with this righteous man? For I have suffered many things this day in a dream because of him. Now the chief priests and the elders persuaded the multitudes that they should ask for Barabbas and destroy Jesus. But the governor answered and said unto them, Which of the two will ye that I release unto you? And they said, Barabbas. Pilate said unto them, What then shall I do unto Jesus, who is called Christ? They all say, Let him be crucified. And he said, Why? What evil hath he done? But they cried out exceedingly, saying, Let him be crucified. So when Pilate saw that he prevailed nothing, that rather that a tumult was arising, he took water and washed his hands before the multitude and said, I am innocent of the blood of this righteous man. See ye to it. That's as far as we'll get on that reading at this time. You make sure you join us Monday for the Warren County Radio Bible School.